do this every single Sunday morning, and we won't stop doing it. We'll do it till the day I take my last breath. Amen. I'm going to give us just a moment to begin to soak in the presence of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for every single thing, Lord, that you're going to do in this service. God, right now, I thank you, Lord, that you've made us to be well able to stand. If you've had a bad week, if you've had a week where you've fought depression, I'm going to ask you to begin to stand right now. If you've had a week where you've fought anxiety and irritation, drug addiction, alcoholism, anything, Lord, I call those things out to you right now. God, I thank you that you're going to have your way in this service. Lord, right now, I thank you that you are healing, God, brokenness in this place. Lord, from the leadership on down, God, I thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, I call out every single problem, God. You know what we have need of. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're meeting every single need. God, not according to what we have, but God, it's according to what you have. Daddy God, you have it all. So, Lord, I thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brother Angelo said, if you guys will turn your phones on silent, I want to begin to explain some things to you. When I was a kid, my parents taught me what reverence was. And that seems like it is a very lost art. Now, if you've never heard my preaching, Brother Adam, you're going to have to realize that I am of Southern Belle and I'm very loud. So I'm just going to give you that disclaimer, and I'm not politically correct. So if you're easily offended, get yourself ready. You're going to get yourself offended probably by the last 5 minutes of this service. You're going to have to get over it. But anyhow, reverence is this right here, turning your cell phones off, number one. Number two, reverence is when you take your children to the bathroom before the pastor gets up. How many of you have ever had to preach in your life? Have you preached? Okay. How many of you know that Pastor Kelly's like a squirrel? All right. It's difficult sometimes to keep your concentration when you got kids constantly moving. Now, the only problem worse than that is when the adults are doing the same thing. Now, I know this isn't politically correct. People are thinking, what a jerk she is. Well, hey, look here. I didn't tell you about that. You're going to have to get over it. We're all family here, and it is what it is. How many of you have ever been distracted in a church service by Sister Buckethead opening her candy? And you want to say, can I open that for you? I've been there. All right, I've grown up in church. I've been in church almost every day of my life. Anyhow, we're not talking about reverence today. That was just an extra. And I want to thank our sound people. Amen. I want to thank y'all. As you can tell, we've had a couple kinks, but you know what? That's how life is. You're going to have some kinks. You're going to have some moments in your life where you feel like, God, I cannot go on. You're going to have moments in your life where you feel like there is a gaping hole right in the very core of who you are. Look here, I get it. And most importantly, God gets it. And what I want to encourage you with this morning is God is still exactly who he says that he is. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is definitely the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And because of those things that I just named, that's just a few things, Brother Gary, but because of that, there is no way that God has a failure in store for us. What we have to do is line ourselves up, line our lives up with the Word of God and say, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? And God will tell you. See, if you're one of these people and you say, well, I can't hear God, I want to tell you something right here. Put your ears back and say, God, speak to me, because God is speaking to you all the time. The Word says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And what I'm going to encourage you to do today is to be a sheep. Be a sheep. Be a sheep. Amen. This morning I want to minister to you today about redemption. About redemption. I want to tell you that God has a redemption in store for you. If you're in a bad season of your life, I want to tell you that God is exactly who he says that he is. If you feel broken in this place today, I want to tell you that the only one that I know of that can mend things on a seamless basis is Christ. He's the only one that can do those things. And look here, that's the only one that you need. That's the only one that you need. So let's go to Psalms chapter 111 and verse 9. And I don't know about y'all, And this is so strange. I never get hoarse, ever. I don't know if I've been yelling at my kids or yelling at my dog, but I've been yelling at all of them. And let me just tell you, this week I was having myself what I like to call a good old-fashioned pity party. Y'all ever have them? All right. Well, I was having one of them, and I have a dog. Now, I've never been a dog person until I met Lulu. And from the moment I saw Lulu born, she's about a 2-pound white chihuahua. And she's got a big old attitude. And I'm pretty sure if she was a human, she would be me. We have the same personality. And Lulu, I've had her for 3 years now. And everybody keeps asking me if Lulu is going to have babies. And well, no. No, she's not. I am not going to do that to her. And Dad has asked me, and I'm like, no, we're not going to defile my girl. Absolutely not. And, Dad was like, well, you're going to have to pay really close attention to her because something's going to begin to happen to her where she gets up in heat. I was like, now, the only thing I know about heat is this right here. When we were about 16, Brother Gary, my dad told all us girls, he said, now, girls, there was four of us. And he said, you girls are not going to act like you're a dog in heat. That's just the bottom line. You are not going to act that way. And so when I looked at Lulu the other day, I was like, oh, boy, I think this is happening. This is going down. Sherry? I got that dog. And they always said, look at her bottom. And Brother Larry, he's the one that gave her to me. I looked at that dog. I said, I think we got a problem. I sat her down by me, and we just had that pity party together. Let me tell you something. Sometimes in your life, you're going to have things that you don't expect. Sometimes in your life, you're going to go through things that you did not ask for. Sometimes you're going to go through things in your life that you are almost certain they're going to break everything inside of you. Let me tell you something. Whatever breaks inside of you, God's going to put it back together. Whatever's hurting you today, look here, you're going to blink and you're going to be able to be happy and joyful again. I can tell you that. So we have a very redeeming God. And when we get in these times where we want to have ourselves a pity party, look here, I'm not going to stand up and say, don't have your pity party because I'm not dumb. I get full well, Lauren, that sometimes you're just going to sit down and you're just going to have yourself a moment. But what I'm going to tell you is that those moments need to be fewer and fewer because you have a very redeeming God. Let's go to Psalms chapter 111 today. We're going to look at verse 9. And it says here, He provided redemption for His people. He provided redemption for His people, and He ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The other day I was walking through my house and I was having a moment where my heart was very heavy and I just began to call out to God and I just began to talk to God. See, you can talk to God and you should talk to God. And I began to just talk to God. And before I knew it, Sister Rocky, God was talking to me and He said, Kelly, I am mighty to save. I am mighty to save. Kelly, I am a mighty, mighty God. And you know what? I can't sing to save my life, but I just began to sing, what a mighty God we serve. And I began to tell God, God, You're mighty in this situation. God, You are exactly who You said that You were. So God, what I'm going to do right now in this moment of trouble is, God, I'm going to just say right now just how mighty that You are. God, I'm going to say right now just how thankful for You that I am. God, I'm going to tell You right now that, God, though people fail me, Daddy God, You will never fail me. Daddy God, You will never turn Your back on me. And God, because of that, I choose today to move on. See, you've got a choice in your life. You're going to sit there and waller in your mess, or you're going to get up and you're going to say, God, You're still exactly who You said that You were. So, Daddy God, I'm going to be who You told me that I am. God, You told me I'm the apple of Your eye. So I'm moving on. And so what you need to ask yourself right here, in verse 9 it says He provided redemption for His people. Are you His child? Are you His people today? See, the people that know their God, see, the problem is There are no atheists in foxholes. Yeah, I just went there. I'll go there again, and I'll sit there for 30 minutes if I feel I need to. There are no atheists in foxholes. What does that mean? That look here. When the going gets tough and the tough gets going, look here. People will fall on their knees and they'll ask God. The word says God has redemption for his people. When others would fail at the same thing that you're going through, God won't let you fail. Amen. When others would break under awful circumstances, if you're his people, he's not going to allow you to do that. See, you have to make a decision. We are a very fleshly, worldly generation where everybody is touchy-feely. They want to get on social media and slam one another. Let me tell you something. That is not of God. It will never be of God. Every idle thing that we say and do, there is going to be a day we are going to give an account for that. So we need to keep those things very few and far between. Because look here, you're going to answer for it. You're going to answer for those things. And we're very fleshy, and I'm very fleshy, and I hate to tell you that as your pastor, but I have my moments. I do, and I hate those moments, but I'm not going to deny I have them. I mean, every once in a while, the devil will get on after me, and I want to just box somebody right in the nose. That's an honest statement. You know what I do in those moments? Intercede for myself. Lord, don't let me box them in the nose. That wouldn't look good. The other day, I'm going to just give you a little piece of pastorly advice, okay? Do not speed in Ozark. Don't do it. Because it don't matter how long your eyelashes are and how blonde your hair is. They don't care. How do I know this? I know it. I got stopped. I haven't been stopped since I was like a teenager. I get stopped and I roll that window down. I smiled real big. Prettiest smile I had. He goes, ma'am. I said, officer, have I done something? He looked at me, he goes, yes. Do you not know what it is? I said, I have no idea, but I am so sorry for whatever it is. What was it? He goes, you were doing a 55 and a 35. I said, you are kidding me. Daddy was in the car with me, and he wakes up, and he leans over, and he goes, are you just now waking up? And Dad goes, yes. He goes, your daughter was speeding. So automatically, it doesn't matter that you're 36 years old. You're going to get that lecture from your dad right off the bat. So I thought, great, I'm going to hear it from him. I'm about to get my butt chewed from this cop. Here we go. This is a fabulous, and it was on a Monday, of course, when, you know, you got jail ministry and you got to feeding the elderly folks. You know, it's all going to happen on them days. God forbid it happen on a day you can actually mentally handle it. So anyways, we were sitting there and he goes up. I give him my insurance, and then he comes back, and I said, not that this matters, but I just want to let you know that I'm a pastor, and if I was speeding, it was because I've got to feed 162 elderly people of Logan County. And Dad leans over, and he goes, she just won the Humanitarian of the Year Award. And I was like, God, please don't send us to hell for trying to manipulate this cop. And then the cop, he doesn't skip a beat. And he goes, and he said something, Kayla, that was so real. And you know what I can appreciate? I can appreciate realness. He goes, really? What town? He said, Logan County. He said, what's your church's name? And I told him, he goes, well, how would that look? He did, and it cut me right here because I was like, well, it doesn't look good. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to give you what they call a warning. The first thing in my brain, awful. I wanted to say, how long before I can speed again? When does that warning fall off? That's what I wanted to say. Why am I talking about this? Because look right here. God is redeeming you day by day. You get yourself caught up in something, look here. God's going to redeem you, but you know what? Own it. Own your life. Own your life. That is the problem with a lot of Christians today. They will not own their life. They will not own their failures. They will not own their mistakes. They will not own the things that they did and slap Jesus' name on it. Look here, we have a very fleshly generation where a lot of people want to be fleshy in everything that they do. And unfortunately, Christians are the same way. I'm asking you today to step up out of that behavior, to step up out of that mind frame, because God has something bigger for you. God has a destiny for you. He has something that only you were meant to do. But you can't do that being small-minded. Just, God was ministering to me the other day in my home when I began to tell him how mighty he was, and he said, Kelly, your current trial does not define who you are. It does not define who you are, but Kelly, you got to get up out of this, and you got to choose today to just stand up. See, it's hard to pastor a church and tell everybody to stand on Sunday when you're struggling to do it yourself. But you know what? Every person has to make that decision that, you know what, God, I'm going to stand up today. God, I choose to accept your redemption today. Let's go now to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 6 through 8. And the thing that I love about God is that he just keeps it so real in his word. Ain't nobody more gangster than God. God will say things that most people wouldn't say. In Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. And he says here, you see at just the right time. And I want to stop right there. And I want to tell you that the timing of God is impeccable. He will not be one moment late for you. If you're believing God for something and he's told you yes, look here, you need to hold on to what he's told you. If you're believing God for something and it looks like it's far off, look here, you're going to have to just have some faith, and you're going to have to stand in that moment where it's difficult. A lot of Christians want to fall over and give up because it gets difficult. What does the word say? The word says, in this life, this one right here, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. Don't act surprised when things happen. Things are going to happen. Guess what else is going to happen? The glory of God. The redemption of God. God will redeem you time and time again. What is redemption? I looked it up. Redemption is a buyout. God takes everything that you are. You know, when Christ died for us, he absorbed every sin that we would ever commit. He became the sin. He not only took it, but he became it. He bought out every sin that we ever would have here on this earth. He bought it out, and he became it. That's why we're able to go to heaven. That's why we're able to say, I am the redeemed of the Lord, because of those things. And so it says here, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm going to stop right there. God did not wait for you when everything was going right in your life. The word says, at just the right time when we were powerless, at just that right time. See? Can you look back in your life and can you see that God's timing was so great? There are times that I've had in my life and I thought, Lord, this was the worst timing ever. For instance, becoming a pastor right in the middle of a pandemic, I didn't even know what the word pandemic even meant. I very quickly found out. I thought, we'll be over this in 2 weeks. Oh, my word. We're going on like 2 years and whatever we're up to now. I don't even like to hear the word pandemic or corona. I don't even like that mentioned. I don't even like it mentioned in my house. Like, you're not even allowed to come up in there and say those words. I'm sick of it. But see, the word says here, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He did not wait for you to get your life all put together. He did not wait for you to get all your ducks in a row. See, he loved you at your worst. He was there for you at your worst. Why? Because he's a very redeeming God. He is a very redeeming God. I've grown up in church all my life. And if anything will kill off Christ, it's religion. It's religion. And a lot of people, I'll tell them, Jack, I'll say, I'm really not a religious person. And what I mean by that is this right here. You're not going to catch me saying, well, your hair's messed up, you can't come up in here. Or your skirt's too short, you can't come up in here. Or you don't smell like you've had a bath in 7 days, you can't come up in here. Look here, that ain't this kind of place. Because I don't see that in the Word. I don't see it. So when you're all messed up and your life's a mess and you're a mess and you're hurting or you're broken or you've just made the worst mistake of your life, you can come up in here and you can rest knowing this right here. There's not going to be anybody judging you. And if you're not careful, we're going to adopt you. And you're going to be one of us. But see, God is a very redeeming God. He loved us at our worst. He chose us at our worst. When we were powerless, Sherry, to do anything for ourselves, he loved us then. It's easy to love people that are good to you. Right? How many of you got trouble loving people that ain't good to you? Great, I'm glad we're keeping it real today. Well, I do too. If I'm not careful, I'll circle the Walmart parking lot and I'll be like, I ain't going up in there. Sally Sue's there. Nope. Now, y'all don't act like you don't do that kind of thing. Maybe everybody's not as petty as I am, but look here, I can be petty just with anybody else. And that's not a good trait. But you know what I can do? I can keep that part of me very real. I can keep it real. I had somebody say, you know, I've never liked you, and I don't know why. I didn't skip a beat. I said, you know what? It's so peculiar. I felt the same way about you, and I don't know why. Let's get that lined out. When you grow up in church, you realize what you want to do is not play church anymore. You realize you want to be the church, have church. Church is not a building. Church is the people. And church is when you can love people. You don't got to understand every single thing about a person's life. You don't have to understand it. God didn't say, now love everybody that you can understand their life choices. No. He said, you love them exactly how I loved them. Unconditionally. And so, in Romans chapter 5, you see at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, and very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He wasn't waiting on you to get it right. He wasn't waiting on you to pretty your life up. He wasn't waiting on you to make a right choice. Look here. What God did, he did it freely. That's why the Word of God said, now freely you have received, now freely give. See, when God gave his Son for you, he gave his everything to you right in that moment. That's why we have a redeeming God. There is nothing that you're facing today that God is not working on. He's working on it. Now, it may not be on your time frame, because God doesn't go off of what your schedule is. God's going off of His time for your life. And He knows exactly what He's doing. We have to understand, when we were at our worst, He gave us His best. He gave us His best. There are times where I wake up and I say, God, help me to give you my best today. Can you sit back? I don't know if y'all do this, but I sit back many nights and I reflect. I've learned to do that in my adulthood. It helps keep me straightened out. It's a very hard job to do. Keep me lined out. And I'll sit in my recliner and I'll reflect. What I did good, it's kind of like what I do with my boys. What I did good, what I'm proud of, what I didn't do so good, what I'm not so proud of. The things I'm not proud of, I say, Lord, I'm going to just put them under your blood right now. Can you see in your life places where you've said, God, I didn't give you my best? I didn't give you my best. Let me tell you something. I'm not into condemnation and I'm not into judging folks. If you didn't give him your best yesterday, that's gone and that's over. A lot of times I'll be in Walmart, and this is classical. I like to go to Walmarts that aren't in Paris, Arkansas. And let me tell you why. Because everybody knows me here. Sometimes that's exhausting. I go Russellville, Dardanelle, Fort Smith. Fort Smith's got like three Walmarts. I think it's fabulous. I like to go up in places where I can just let my hair down. Every once in a while when I got to go to Paris. And I love Paris Walmart. God bless them. I'll get up in Paris Walmart, and there'll be somebody I haven't seen in a long time. And Kiele, this is what they do. They'll see me, and they will go the opposite direction. I'm like, thank God. They'll go the opposite direction. And here's what it is. They think that I'm going to be dumb enough to start asking them where they've been right up in the Walmart line. Look here, when I'm buying my toilet paper, I ain't concerned about where you've been. Because look here. I trust in God enough that I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God is stirring that heart. And look here, I don't got to chase people down and act like I'm the mafia. When I see them, Mikey, they're like in dread. They're like, oh, God, I can't get away from her. What is she going to do? What is she going to say? I'm like, man, how about that weather? Why? Because you know what? I trust God full well. God is such a redeeming and precious God to us. He's precious to us. If you've missed it, stop missing it. If you've gotten off, get back on the right track. If you've not been in your relationship with Christ where you've wanted to be and where you know is right, just get back on there. See, you're never going to see God want to beat you up over the head with it. He's never going to do that. But He does tell you this right here. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. He tells us that because He wants us to realize right off the bat, look here, people are going to have trouble getting on the straight and narrow. Why? Because it ain't fun. It's going to make you change. It's going to make you do things that you don't want to do, like forgive people. It's going to make you shut your mouth when you want to tell them off. It's going to make you change. It's going to make you be the bigger person and give them a soft answer instead of what you think that they deserve. There's too many Christians dishing out things verbally that they think somebody else deserves. And look here, you ain't the judge of that. See, we don't know what each other deserves. Only God does. What God would like us to do is to love on people, to love on them. 2 or 3 years ago when God said, Kelly, I want to do a food ministry out of Paris Christian Center. And what I want you to do is I want you to make it a community-wide thing. And I said, well, God, I don't know if I can feed the whole community. He said, Kelly, you can't, but I can. You can't, but I can. And I said, God, you are so mighty, I believe you. If you'll order my steps, I'll walk in them. See, not every step that he orders for you is going to be easy. But look here, Sherry, it'll be ordained by God. It'll be ordained by God. And the steps that he orders, Brother Gary, he'll establish every single one of them. The word says, it says, every place where you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you. See, in 2019, when I said, God, what do you want me to pray for? He said, Kelly, you asked me for Logan County. I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm asking you for Logan County. Look here, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. God will give you exactly what you ask for so long as it lines up with the word. Every time I get discouraged, I say, Lord, you're the one that told me to ask for Logan County. God, you make it happen. In the beginning, it was a hard thing for people to understand that we were going to give this food to everybody. No questions asked. And time again, I went back to the word. And here's what I noticed about Jesus. What Jesus did was he gathered people and he fed them and he loved them. And that's what he did the most of. A lot of people said, well, this person's not in need. You don't need to give them this food or you this or you that. Look here. God is no respecter of people. And we don't know what people need. And how dare us even have that mind frame that we think that we know. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about y'all, and I'm going to keep it very real. There have been things in my life and in my heart only God knew. Only God knew. Everybody comes to those places in their life where we say, God, only you know what I'm going through right now. God, only you know this gaping hole inside of me. I'm not ever sure if it's going to ever be right. See, God, only you know that. See, we can't sit here and look at other people and have all the complete redemption of God and want to pick and choose things about other folks. We can't do that and we can't walk in that type of way because it's not blessed. You either going to give God something in your life that he can bless or you'll stay in mediocrity and just stay there for the rest of your life. And you have to realize that when God puts you here, he puts you here with a big calling. He puts you here with a big destiny. He puts you here with a big thing for you to do and only you can do it. Somebody needs who you are. Somebody needs you at your best. And look here, Sherry, I'm not at my best every day. I'm not. Gosh, I wish I was. I am not at my best every day. Here's what I know. He is at his best every day. So when I'm not in my best, God is going to pour out his grace and his mercy, which, by the way, he says is new every single morning. And he's going to pour it out over me. And he's going to cause me to line up with the word of God that tells me that I'm the head and not the tail. See, what has God said about you? A lot of Christians, they don't know because they're lazy. They won't get in the word and they won't figure it out. Look here, lazy Christians are going to have a hectic life. Lazy Christians are going to have a hectic life. Why? Because the moment you step out of your door, life will hit you right up in the head. And they keep hitting you till you make it home, and then you're going to go home, and if you got kids, they're going to smack you around some more. That's right. I was sitting there with Lulu, and I was thinking, God, if you can get her out of heat, God, if you can make these kids be quiet, and God, if I can still have hair by the end of this day, I'm going to be doing real good, and I'm going to be thankful. God is a very redeeming God. I don't know what you're going through this morning. If you're watching on Facebook Live, I don't know what you're going through, but what I want to tell you is that God loves you so much. I want to tell you that there's nothing that's too hard for Him. If you're having yourself a struggle, look here. Find God in that. Find Him in it. Get yourself real quiet and get yourself real still and say, Daddy God, speak to me. Speak to me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18. And I gave this verse out this week. What I have learned with being in the ministry and what I've learned in pastoring is this right here. And it's taken me a long time to learn it. But if you can just be kind and you can just keep it sweet and keep it real, but be kind, God can do more with kindness than He can do with anything else. He can do more with you just saying, God, if you'll give me that love, I'll pour it out and I'll give it to someone else. See, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? I was outside here a few Wednesdays ago, and the Lord decided to bless us with like two huge pallets of celery. I was like, thank you, God, for the celery. Not. What is a girl to do with two enormous pallets of celery? Well, I decided to be a blessing and to bless everybody else in the community with like six packs of it. I said, okay. Everybody that comes through the line has got to get one bag of celery, and in that bag is going to be six packs of celery. And I was not wearing my pastor t-shirt. I choose my days to do that. Because that's like advertisement. Catch me messing up or being rude. Pastor's right on my chest. And this woman did not want to take the celery. She wanted to argue about the celery. I said, now, God, you're the one that told me to do this. And, Lord, I'm about to lose my religion with this woman and this celery. Lord, help me not to do that. That would sure look bad, as that police officer said. Well, how would that look? I was thinking, is this a hill I want to die on with this celery? And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, we care about you so much that we have decided to give you six packs of celery. Because not only do we want to be a blessing to you, we want you to turn around and we want you to be a blessing to all of your neighbors. Amen. Go forth and prosper, and take that bag of celery. And put a smile on your face just like the one I've got on mine. Because look here, God ain't called you to do something that's easy all the time. There's going to be days where you don't feel like you can do what He's called you to do. There's going to be days where you don't feel like you can even get up. I'm going to encourage you to get up. I'm going to encourage you to keep getting up. I'm going to encourage you to put one foot in front of the other. And all the things that you don't know how God's going to work them out, I'm going to ask you to just trust God. And I'm going to ask you to look back. And if you can find one place where God was not on time in your life, you come and you see me. There's a lot of times where being a pastor is a hard job, but you know what? When I was 19 years old, I preached my first message officially. I used to preach to the June bugs in the country. But when I was 19, I preached my first message, and I was really nervous. And Dad said, he said, Kelly, all you got to do is stand up and preach the Word of God like you're God's lawyer. You tell those people just exactly who He is. You tell them how good that He is. And you never back down, because the Word will back itself up. The word will back itself up. If you put the word inside of you, guess what? God's going to back you up. There's nothing more powerful, Brother Charlie, than when God backs a person, when he just backs them up. See, God's not asking for your perfection because he remembers how he made us. What he's asking for is your obedience and your willingness. See, you have something that's called a free will. That's why the word says, you choose this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? It's because every day you're going to wake up and you're going to choose who you're going to be that day. That's why the Lord's Prayer, Lord, this day, give us this day, not tomorrow, not next Tuesday. God, give us this day our daily bread. There's too many Christians that are borrowing tomorrow's problems. Them problems are going to figure themselves out tomorrow. God's asking you to stay in today. And when you're in today, realize this one thing. He is redeeming you moment by moment. Moment by moment, he's redeeming you. And so it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I want to speak to that person this morning where maybe you're going through it. Maybe you're having a hard time. Maybe your heart is heavy. Maybe you're struggling. I want to tell you right now, if you don't hear another thing that I say, I want to tell you that what you're going through is not permanent. It is not permanent. It may feel like it's permanent, but it is not a permanent thing. What you are going through, it is temporary, and the Word of God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and you and I, we're going to walk this thing out together. See, if God left you, you'd have something to worry about, but he gives you his Word that he will never do that to you, and because of that, you can go around in your life, and you can put that head up. I was going to a business the other day, and I wanted to have my head down because see the devil would love to get people and put them in shame, and God said, Kelly May, you put that head up where it belongs, because you're not going to have your head down when you're going up into places, because Kelly, I've ordained every single step. Girl, you get your head and you put it up. We can't forget who we are.
Amen.
You keep yourself in check. And you realize that God is backing you up. If you get off on the wrong track and you realize it, stop right there. Stop right there. Say, God, I got off. Get me back on the right path. Brother Tommy, I admire him so much. He's been in my life since like 1989. That's a long time ago for both of us. And he'll get up and he'll start singing. And he'll be off. Now look here. Where a lot of people would just try to catch up to the music, Tommy just stops it right there. Stop. Start it over. Look here. It's never too late for a do-over. Just stop. God, I got off. Let's start it again. Let's begin again. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late for a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. The moment it's too late is when they roll you up here and you got this girl speaking over you. That's the only time it's too late. That's it. And so it says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Whatever you're going through, God's bringing you to something better. It's going to be better than you've ever thought it could be. It's going to outweigh all the bad stuff. People sitting here and they're asking God, Lord, am I going to be okay? What I want to tell you right now is yes, you are. Yes, you are. God, am I going to make it out of this? Yes, you are. Lord, is this going to be the end of me? No, it's not. You're going to be fine. You're going to go on and you're going to keep moving. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. I've learned that nothing is really what it looks like. Every time I see a family picture on Facebook, it makes me laugh. Because I know they probably had to kill each other to get that. I mean, I nearly go to prison every time I have to have a picture of my kids. Because I had to threaten them with bodily harm for one picture. Nothing's what it looks like, so quit looking at the natural realm, what you can see, taste, hear, smell. Stop that. God's doing a supernatural thing in your life, and get used to that idea. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what God said about it. What does God say about your situation? Doesn't matter what it looks like. Things can look a whole lot of ways, Miss Kayla. Doesn't mean that's the reality of it. It just means that God's going to have to just keep working because it looks bad. But God's exactly who he said he was. God will get the job done. It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. I'm asking you today to fix your eyes on the thing that's not, that you can't see. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. We bought these three houses over here. God said, Kelly, I want you to see those two gone. See them gone. I said, Lord, there ain't no way we can sell them things. Have you seen them? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm charming, but not that charming. He said, Kelly, see them gone. The day they rolled them things off of this property, I said, God, you're exactly who you said you are. God has to pick your problem up and move it. Plumb up out of your way, he'll do it. But he's going to teach you some things along the way. And don't be mad at him when he does it. The trial of your faith is priceless. It is priceless. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen, somebody hear me, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The thing that you're looking at and it looks so big to you, stop looking at it. Stop looking at it. Look towards heaven. Look at God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. When everything seems like it's going crazy in your life, I want you to understand one thing. God sent his son. When everything is chaos, I want you to understand when Jesus came here and dwelt among us, he endured chaos and he became chaos so we didn't have to live in it. He took sin and he became sin. Last place for me this morning, Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. And it says here, but when the time had fully come, another translation says, when the time was right. When the time was right. Somebody's asking God, God, when are you going to fix this? God, when are you going to help me? God, when this and God this and God that. Look here. When the time is right, not 1 second late, not 1 second early, but when the time is right. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. See, he wasn't looking to just make you a peon. He was looking at you to make you a son and to make you a daughter. He wasn't looking at you to make you a stepchild. He was looking at you saying, how can I have them in my family? How can I have them as a son? How can I have them as a daughter? There was one way. There was one way. See, when people don't want to give Christ their life, they have a selfish problem. Because see, when it came to us, he didn't hold anything back. He saw what it was going to cost and he paid it. See, the Word of God, it says, now you were bought with a price. I want to tell you this morning that you were expensive. Everything that he had, he gave. So don't get mad at God when he asks you for your life. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you his heir. I want to tell you this morning, redemption is right there. You're redeemed. God bought out every problem that you have. What did he give you in its place? Himself, his son, victory, favor, provision. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. If you're in the middle of a trial this morning and you're saying, God, I need you to save me in this moment. I need redemption in this struggle. I need redemption in this trial. I need redemption in this battle. I want you to begin to cry out to God right now. God is going to meet you right in the place where you're at. See, God doesn't wait for you to be at your best. He goes right where you're at, and he meets you in that place. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person, God. Lord, for the ones that are hurting and struggling, God, for the ones that don't understand why they're going through what they're going through, God, I ask you right now for peace, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, you said that your peace you'd give us and your peace you'd leave us, so God, I thank you for that peace right now, Lord, that it begins to flow in the hearts of your children. Lord, I ask you right now for provision. And for resolve, I speak to battles and struggles. I tell them to be resolved right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you'd bless us, God, and keep us and make your face to shine upon us, God, and give us peace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a wonderful...